I'm going to minister this morning on marriage. Marriage. Just because you grow up doesn't mean you know how to be married. Amen. Just because you just got married doesn't mean you know how to be married. You have to walk in marriage for several years to understand what the Lord is actually doing. And if you don't understand the scripture, you have no way of anticipating what it is that God is trying to do. Marriage is one of the most beautiful relationships that you can ever enter into. But it's also one of the most difficult. Because the person that you marry to, they never go away. They're there constantly. They see you when you get up. You see them when they get up. You see each other at your best and at your worst. It is a constant. And I am convinced after being married now 40-some years, marriage is, God intends to sanctify the people that are in that marriage by the institution of marriage. It's part of our sanctification journey. Now, often when I minister on marriage, according to the scriptures, Paul teaches in Ephesians 5, he begins with the responsibilities of the female, and then he goes to the responsibilities of the male. And I've noticed that whenever I preach this, I always run out of time to get to the brothers. And it seems kind of like I'm hammering the sisters, and I'm not really addressing the brothers very much. And so this morning, I'm going to begin by addressing the brothers. And if it's God's will, we'll move to the sisters later in the sermon. Or if it's God's will, maybe even next week, I'll be doing the 9 o'clock and we'll finish up with the responsibilities of the female in the marriage institution. Now, it's very important to realize that marriage, as we understand it, is diametrically opposed to what God intended. It's all the way different. God had one idea for marriage and how it should come about, but we, as we always do, we take God's intention and we twist it and pervert it into something that it was never meant to be. And so I'm first going to start just briefly explaining what marriage is. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. This is, I believe, the Apostle Paul, and he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, I want to start with this scripture to show how vastly different the huge chasm between what God intended and what people do. He begins by saying, the institution of marriage is honorable. It's an honorable thing that two people enter into. It was meant to be honorable. It is honorable. No matter that you might hear, usually you hear it on by men saying this, oh, no, marriage is not for me. That's not for me. Why, bro, it's honorable. Marriage is honorable. Or you hear people say, well, marriage is just a trap. You don't want to get involved in it. No, no, no. The Bible says marriage is honorable. And the bed is undefiled. That means that sexual expression is only allowed, according to God's standard, within the confines of marriage. Now, we've taken it outside of marriage and we've turned it into a filthy, pornographic, perverted weirdness. But God intended it to only be within the institution of marriage, and listen very closely. Sexual expression within marriage is worship. You are aligning yourself with the heart of God. He gave you that. And let's be honest, there's nothing on the planet like that. And God gave that within the bounds of marriage. But we've perverted it. We took it outside. So he continues by saying, first, marriage is an honorable agreement. It's an honorable covenant that you enter into. The married bed is undefiled. And let me add this. So don't defile it. In other words, it's undefiled, but that doesn't mean you go out and get the toys from the world and bring them in here. Because that's not what God, that's not the way God defined it. We're just weird. And we will easily go out in left field. So he says, marriage is honorable, the bed is undefiled, but he gives a warning, whoremongers and adulterers. He said, I'm going to judge you. That means people who have sex outside of marriage, and let's be honest, most people who get married now are not virgins. It's quiet. It's been this way for decades. Folks now have body counts. Body counts. How many people have you been with? Well, you're not experienced enough for me. Well, listen, marriage is not sex. Marriage is a covenant that you enter into with a lifelong partner, a soulmate, that you walk hand in hand and you stand at death's door and one ushers the other through death's door when life is over. It's honorable. But oftentimes we allow the world to impact us and we get these weird ideas of what marriage should be. And because we don't know the scripture, because we don't study it like we should, we allow the world to impact our view of what marriage is. In fact, most people, when you say, well, what are the responsibilities of marriage? Submit. Submit is like, that's the only word that we've learned, and we don't really understand what that means. And so you have, especially within the Christian community, you have brothers that make strange comments like, I'm the priest of my house. No, you're not. That's not in the Bible. You say, well, then I'm the head of my household. No, you're not. That's not in the Bible either. The Bible says you are the head of the wife, Ephesians 5:23. Now, that doesn't just mean you have authority over your wife. It speaks to your responsibility to your wife. So let's just walk through it. I'm going to jump over to 1 Peter chapter 3 very quickly. Peter was a married man. We know that Peter was married because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. So we know he was married. And he teaches on marriage here in his third chapter of his first epistle, verse 7. He says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, speaking of the wife, according to knowledge. It means that it's not just you get together and have sex. See, and some people now get married just to have legitimate legal sex. And you get ready to blow your whole life up over those few little minutes. And you need to hold on to yourself and discipline yourself, because marriage is a lifelong covenant. It is a vow that you take, not to the person, you take a vow to God. You're taking a vow to God. And so Peter says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, meaning that you need to understand what the marriage covenant is. You need to understand the nature of your wife. You need to understand your responsibilities, and you need to understand her responsibilities so that you don't get it twisted. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Here it is. Second thing, giving honor to the wife. Now, that means one of my primary responsibilities in my marriage is to make sure that I honor my wife. And the number one way you honor your wife is you don't cheat on her. You took a vow, and you don't break that vow. You walk honorably with her, and you hold her up, and you cherish her, and you love her. You make sure that she's comfortable, even if you got to take the hit. Make sure she's comfortable. When I bought my wife's van that she currently drives for her, it had fabric seats in it. And the headrest was fabric, fabric interior. And she happened to mention that every time she's driving, when she puts her head back, the fabric grabs one of her hairs and pulls her hair. And so I took the hit. And I took the thing down and put leather seats in it. Because I honor my wife. And this is not something you just know how to do. You have to learn how to find ways to honor her. Listen, if she knows that you love her and that you honor her, you don't have to worry about her leaving. You don't have to worry about her cheating on you. if you would just treat her right. So he says, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, understand this. It does not mean that the wife is weaker than the husband. You can't compare apples and oranges. The wife is simply more delicate than the husband. She's not mentally weaker. She's sometimes mentally superior to the husband, intellectually. Sometimes she, you know, women are very detailed. It's ridiculous how detailed they are. If my wife, I've had to get used to this because it's kind of frustrating to be honest. If my wife is going to tell me something, she's going to tell me that my son-in-law, Ike, came over to the house today. She would say, she would tell me what color socks he had on, how his hair was fixed. She would tell me what kind of car, which side of the parking, the driveway he parked on. Give me all of the details. All I need to know, he was there. I'm good. That's how my brain works. He was there. Okay, no problem. So men and women think very, very differently, but here Paul describes it as the weaker vessel. It means that they are more delicate. When I'm working out on our little farm that we have, sometimes I'm moving brush and moving limbs and stuff, and I come home, I've got scratches on my arms. I brush my knuckles on the tractor or something. I got scrapes on my knuckles. I don't even realize I did it until the next day or, you know, you take a shower and it's like, wow, that stings. What happened? That's because I'm more durable. I'm built more durable. My wife could be out there. She don't have to scrape her knuckles. Just break a fingernail. And her whole attention goes, oh, my goodness, I broke the fingernail. They're more delicate. Not that they're inferior. That is not what the scripture teaches. They're not inferior. They're not made to be under your feet, and they're definitely not made to be above your head. They're made to be under your arm. They're made to be nurtured and honored and respected and supported. Giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together in the grace of life. Now listen, everything that God gives us in our lives is a work of his grace. All of our food, everything we drink, our homes, our cars, our experiences, our children, all of that is the grace of God. And when you come together, you and your wife, you are heirs together of the grace of God being poured into our lives. But listen, if we don't acknowledge what's happening many times, we can have the best of everything and be unhappy because we're weird that way. I'm not saying you, all of us. If we don't discipline our minds, we will go goofy on ourselves. And so when you come together, you and your husband and your wife, listen, it's not perfect. It's never going to be perfect. My wife and I, we got married out of high school. We've been together all our lives. Just this morning, I said, well, baby, what do you think about so-and-so? She said, well, I think so-and-so-and-so. And I said, oh. And we acknowledge that we don't agree. She thinks it should be left. I think it should be right. And so when I found out she thought it should be left, I said, why do you think it should be left? Because I just don't want to know what you think. I want to know, why do you think that? Because you got details that maybe I missed. See, one thing as husbands we have to understand, I know you're smart, but you're not that smart that you can ignore a perfectly good brain right beside you. And so whenever I'm making decisions, I might already know the answer. I might already know what needs to happen. I still come to my wife and say, hey, here's the situation. What are your thoughts on this? Because it's wisdom. It's just wisdom. And so for us brothers, we have to understand our wives are not just a sexual toy. They're not just a servant in the house to cook our meals, but they are actually a joint heir with us in the grace of life. And we need to understand that because he said, if you need to understand that so that your prayers be not hindered, meaning that when you mistreat your wife, when you walk out of harmony with God's intention in the marriage, it hinders your prayers. You can be asking for something. You could be seeking for something, and God is looking at how you treat your wife. Your marriage to your wife should follow the example of Christ in the way he treats the church. And you know he's gracious. The marriage is a type of Christ's relationship to the church. He is the head of the church as the man is the head of the wife. There's no time ever in the Bible, in history, in eternity, where the Christ has taken a position of, where the church has taken a position above Christ. Nowhere. And there should be no time that the wife should take a position over the husband. Now, with that being said, it means the husband needs to man up on some stuff. It means, you know, the church is always, as long as I've been in the church has been primarily filled with females. Where are the brothers? Where are the brothers? You look now, and as you look at the church global, you see almost more female preachers than you see male preachers. Where are the brothers at? See, you cannot expect to be the head of that wife if you cannot be the spiritual head as well as the natural head. Now listen, this is important. She is now able to make more money than you. She's equally as smart as you are. And if she has to be the spiritual head on top of that, what is it that you bring to the table? What is it? See, there was a time when my wife, before she retired, and I was pastoring, she made a lot more money than I did. Buku. But because I carried myself and I moved in such a way that I was a full developed man, willing to honor her, willing to make sure she had everything that she needed, when she got paid, she put her check right in my hand. Now that's a responsibility. That's a responsibility. She didn't even keep her own money. It would drive me wild. We would go on vacation, and every time I turn around, she's like, "Babe, I need $20 for something." I say, "Here, honey, I just break her off some. Here's $700. Just no. I just want 20. I'm saying, "Baby, why do you do that?" "I just like to get money from you." And I'm like, "Okay, if that's what you like, I'll do that." My thing is, I need her to be happy. I need her to feel good about herself. And I need to make sure that I'm right with God in my relationship with her. Now, Paul gives us some instruction in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. See, we have to study these scriptures, or else the culture begins to impact our thinking. And we begin to mix the carnality with our spiritual marriage. And let me say that. Marriage is a supernatural relationship. The reason that divorce rate is so high is because people don't realize it. You need the Holy Ghost to stay married. Yes, you do. And one of the best ways to make sure that your marriage is the best that it can be, both of you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, because when you're wrong, the Spirit of God will come to you and tell you you're wrong. Now it's not between you and your spouse. Now it's between you and your God. I can't tell you how many times I've had to go to Sister Lincoln with big crocodile tears running out of my eyes to apologize. "Baby, I'm sorry." Because the Holy Spirit just spanked me back here. And I now have to come and humble myself. But that's how I learned to stop doing that. That's how I learned to stop doing that. I used to be, I process quickly, and I speak to her, and it wouldn't be tempered. It would just be boom. Just dropped it on her. And it would sometimes be harsh. I didn't mean it to be harsh. I just processed fast. And I realized that's on me. The Holy Spirit convicted me. You got to fix that. And so now I'm very careful. And sometimes I just stay silent. Sometimes I just say nothing. And I can address this later on after I've thought about how I need to roll it out. So here's an example of what the world thinks, and I'm going to contrast it with how God thinks. Worldly leadership, worldly headship would say, I'm your head, so you need to take orders from me and do whatever I tell you. That's what some men think of when they hear the word submit. But godly headship is, I am your head, and so I must care for you, and I must take care of you. Worldly submission would say, you have to submit to me, so here's a list of things I want you to do. But godly submission says, you must submit to me because I'm accountable before God for you. And I must care for you and I must serve you. It's a whole different attitude and it's a whole different heart. I want you to notice something. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam said, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father. And that's a good point. You need to leave mom and daddy. Yeah, you need to leave your parents and cleave to your wife. Because I have seen too many times mama come in and tear up the kids' marriage. And mama already, she done already tore up three of her own. Now she's working on the kids' marriage. No, no. I had to do this. I was 19 and unsaved. And my mother stepped in, and I was not comfortable. In front of the whole family, all my siblings, my dad, everybody, I had to draw the line. No, mama, that ain't happening. This is my wife. Me and her, we like this. You can't, there ain't no room for you here. But anyway, Adam said that a man should leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, his wife, his wife. And so as the story goes, of course, we understand they both sinned in the garden. Eve sinned first. Eve sinned first. And then gave to Adam, and he did sin. But when God came into the garden, he didn't say, Eve, where are you? He said, Adam, where are you at? I left you in responsibility. I left you in a position of accountability. What have you allowed to occur here? And it's the same in the household. God is going to look at the head of that house. That's the one that he addresses. That's the one. I'm not saying he won't talk to the wife. I'm saying the man is the one that's in accountability before God for that marriage. If it breaks, it's the man's fault. You need to be the stick'em. You need to be the adhesive that holds it together. And here's what it means. It means you're going to have to humble yourself. Drop the macho. Drop the macho. And realize that God has given you an heir to enjoy the grace of life. Protect it. Protect it. I've always been this way when I was younger. And although, you know, you get older and you get mentally and physically weaker, but in this one area, I'm stronger than I was when I was 19. You heard Sister Lincoln. I will snuff you and then repent. My job is to make sure nothing happens to her. I'm her protector. That's my job. And it's the same way with Christ. If you try to hurt the church, he said, the church is the apple of my eye. You try to hurt Jerusalem, or rather Israel. That's the apple of my eye, God says, and he protects. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul lays out for the husband some things that are required. He says in verse 25, husbands, here it is. Number one, love your wife. Love your wife. The word love here is agape. It means it is a self-sacrificial love. It means that you take the brunt, you hurt yourself to make sure that your wife has everything that she needs. Now, sometimes this just plays out the little simple things, little simple things. Your wife made a mistake and she ordered a small piece instead of a large. And there's only one slice left. Leave it there for your wife. You don't have to ask her, you want the little piece? Just leave it there. Just leave it there. Just walk away from it and come back in a couple hours. You'll live. It'll be okay. and make sure that she's comfortable. Make sure that she has everything she needs. I'm saying you put your wife above yourself. See, so many times marriages, we're wrestling for domination. We wrestle, the husband and wife wrestle back and forth for who's gonna be the dominant one? Who's gonna have the say-so in this? Well, when you go to the scripture, there's no question about who has the say-so. It's obvious. The head of the house has the say-so. But the head of the house should first find out all the details that are held. You know that God created us that way. He knew that he was putting all the detail-mindedness in the female. He knew that. He did that on purpose. And so when you have to make that call, the first thing is, as I was saying earlier, I made a call this morning. I went to my wife. I said, what do you think? She said, what is left? And I said, well, I felt like it was right. And so I asked her for all of the details. Tell me why you think this. And I probed. I probed in. So what about this? What about that? Not trying to intimidate her. I need to know what you're thinking so I can process with you. And after I understood fully what she said, I realized that I'm right. Because I know some things she doesn't know. I have some information she doesn't know. But all the details she gave me, it changed the decision that I made. It didn't make me make a different decision, but it changed the way I'm going to move in the decision that I have to make. My point is, talk to your wife. Take advantage of her detail-mindedness. It's only wisdom. It's only wisdom. And even when they're wrong, let me say it differently. Even when they have a different mindset than you have, husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. And I will, you know, sometimes it can be frustrating. I get that. Because my wife can, she can talk to me sometimes. She's, oh, man, it's just a wave of details, way too much for me to process. It's just details, details, details. And I just need to know the skinny. Just what's the bottom line? And it can be frustrating because I have to listen to all the details because that's the way she processes. But the thing is that don't get frustrated with them. Don't get bitter against them. That they are an individual, a legitimate God-created individual just like you are. And so it has to be a union. It has to be a cooperation to be all that it can be. I'm running out of time. Husband, love your wives. Oh, here it is. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So I know all of us husbands, myself included, I feel like I love my wife, but that's not the standard. That's not what we're called to do. He says, love your wife as, just like Christ loved the church. After 40 years, I'm not there yet. I've grown. But the love that Christ has is a supernatural love. And it takes the Holy Spirit to grow us, to sanctify us, so that we can express that kind of love to our wife. And to make sure that it wasn't understood, it wasn't just as Christ loved the church, but the Holy Spirit added, who gave himself. See, many times that husbands, we fall short because we refuse to give any more of ourselves. We feel like I've done enough. It's 50-50. I've given my 50%. If that's your mindset, you shouldn't even be married. Marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is you give all of yourself on both sides and then find some more to give. See, marriages are dying out. This is the hardest part of marriage. It demands that you die out. Your little baby ways have got to go. Your little idiosyncrasies, they're just no good. And they mean nothing. And you have to let them go. If your wife has told you a dozen times, man, this is an issue. If you can change that thing, walk different. Slowly start praying, asking God, Lord, this is, my wife doesn't like this. I don't care one way or another, but I can't change. But Lord, would you temper me? Help me to make this adjustment so that we can have a better marriage. See, just because you're married doesn't mean you have a Christian marriage. Some people are married and all they have is a financial arrangement. They don't love each other no more. They just love the house they bought together. And they know that if we get divorced, somebody's going to lose this house. And I'm going to stay here for the kids. I'm going to stay here. They don't say this, but because I like the house. Sleep in two different bedrooms. Snarl at each other on a weekly basis. I know because I've been married a long time. And there's times that you've taken a vow. I love you. I cherish you. For better or health. In sickness and in health. For better or for worse. Till death do us part. And then we live in the same house and we got no argument. We ain't even talking to each other. One person sit down and watch TV. And they go somewhere else. And you treat everybody else nice. Treat everybody else wonderful. They just think you're just a shimmering vessel of love. And go home and you got a satanic snarl on your face when you deal with your spouse. Something's wrong. And listen, here's the big thing. All of us have to get, male or female. When there's an issue in this in the marriage, it's not your spouse. It's always you. I don't care what the issue is. It's always you. Before you try to fix them, which is an impossibility, because them can't even fix themselves. They need God to make any changes. And so you trying to warp them into what you want, you should have married what you wanted. Amen. If you married this person thinking you were going to twist them into this person, you were delusional. Because they can't change themselves and you certainly can't change them. All you can do is make your marriage a living hell. Marriage is honorable. It's honorable. God gave the best gift that the human race has, which is sexual intimacy. He gave it only within the confines of the marriage. Because he crowned it. He blessed it. Think about that. He only gave it to people who make this lifelong commitment to one another. And if you will allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you. And again, I'm talking to the brothers this morning because that's what I preached on. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you about changing those things that are caustic and coarse and that cause issues within the marriage. Why are you holding on to something? Is it worth losing the love of your life? Is it worth losing your house, your car? If you have children, would you like to make the child support payments for all three of them for the next 18 years and not give visitation? Is it worth that? Why not just drop that thing and say, baby, I've done this so many times in our marriage, so many times. My wife and I we don't hardly argue anymore, but we used to have arguments. And when I had to grow to this place, I saw that argument coming, or maybe we was already in it, and I would realize, okay, this is on me. And I would go to my wife, and I would pull her close to me. And I would tell her, baby, I love you. I know we're arguing, but I love you. And the devil is a lie, and God would not be pleased with us acting like this. And so I love you. And that right there breaks all the ice. You know whose responsibility that is? It's not her responsibility. You humble yourself. That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Marriage is honorable. Marriage is honorable. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just come to you today. I've done my best to share that you've given me through your scriptures and through many years. And I thank you, Lord, for your oversight of my marriage. I thank you for the convicting power of your Holy Spirit. And God, not right now, I ask for every husband, every future husband, Lord, in the sound of my voice, God, that this same conviction would settle upon us today, that we might honor our wives, that we might learn under your tutelage how to love them as Christ loved the church. Help us to learn to bend. Help us, oh Lord, to learn to humble ourselves, that we can esteem our wives higher than ourselves. Father, we come to you today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the church said, amen. Marriage is a beautiful institution. If you will give yourself to it and stop holding back, stop holding back. You will not come out of it the same person you were when you went into it. It's going to change you dramatically. But it's also going to change you for the better. Amen. Before we close today, there's something that we do from time to time at Christ Unveiled. And please understand, we're not attempting to put pressure on anybody. But if you've been in this ministry for a while and you may feel that I like what this church is doing, I like that the word is being preached, and I want to become a member of Christ Unveiled Ministries. If you're here today and that's your heart, would you just raise your hand anywhere? God sees those hands. God sees those hands. Is there any others? Amen. We're going to ask you, if you would come down, I promise we will not embarrass you. If you would just come and meet me right here on the floor. Ah, there she is. We was young and now are we old. Amen. If you would just meet us here. Amen. We thank you so much for coming to Christ Unveiled Ministries, and we thank you. We consider it a compliment and an honor that you would want to be part of this ministry. Oh, thank God. Thank God, Melanie. We take it as an honor that you would want to be part of this ministry. And my commitment to you is that we will always preach the word of God. We will never take advantage of you. We will never manipulate you. We will give you the best that we have from the Lord. And we love you, and we thank you so much for being part of this ministry. You are now members of Christ Unveiled Ministries. So if you'll stay here for just one moment, come on, would you bring everyone around? They're going to come around and just hug your neck and greet you in the ministry. We love you. Welcome to Christ Unveiled. Welcome to Christ Unveiled. Welcome, my brother. Thank Welcome. You. Praise the Lord.
As we continue to greet our new church family members, I just had a couple of announcements because I see people walking out. If you haven't given already, make sure you take time to do that. We do need your support. Also, there will be no Bible class on November 6th, on Wednesday, November 6th, 2024. There will be no Bible class. And the last announcement that I have is, as Pastor mentioned earlier, please support our projector fund. You can give online. And if you do text to give, the keyword is projectors with an S. It is plural. Thank you so much for coming. I hope you have a blessed week and you are dismissed.